folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, aka Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Right along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And before we go any further, I want to wish everybody a very happy 4th of July.
Happy 250th anniversary to everybody.
It's amazing how many celebrations are going on across the country.
I know. I think the fireworks displays are going to be absolutely epic in certain areas. Not in certain areas, in a lot of places. As long as you can, that you're authorized, that there's no burn ban or anything like that.
Well, and what I love is that it's the country's 250th, so that it's not just celebrating, you know, over the 4th of July weekend. There's celebrations planned throughout the rest of the year.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought pretty much everything was going on this week.
Nope, there's celebrations going on throughout the entire year.
And it's rodeo.
And it's rodeo.
Also, and it's Cowboy Christmas.
Yes, yes, Cowboy Christmas is going on. That's why, by the way, Cowboy Christmas is one of the most lucrative times for these cowboys and cowgirls, because in, what is it, 8 days, there's 30-some PRCA and WPRA rodeos. If I checked, I checked just before we went on air.
That's how many there are.
Over 30-some in just 8 days.
And that's just the PRCA. That's just the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association.
And the WPRA.
And the Women's Professional Rodeo Association.
You got it. Yes.
Got it. That's not counting all of the semi-pro, the IPRA, and all of
the local
amateur
county.
Yes, the amateur associations. So the reason they call it the Cowboy Christmas is there is more money to be won this week and this weekend for, if you're not in the finals or anything like that, there's more money and more rodeos and, that a person can participate than any other time of the year. Hence, they call it the Cowboy Christmas.
So I'm going to put it this way. All the cowboys and cowgirls on their Christmas run, good luck.
Good luck. Make some cash.
Now, here's one for you, Tigger. How well do you know U.S. history? I put together a quiz.
I know history pretty darn well. You know that.
I know.
You know my IQ is off the chain.
Well, we have not checked that out.
No, we haven't.
But,
I claim that. But.
Question one, Tigger, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the primary author of the initial draft of the Declaration of Independence?
Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, I gave you an easy one. Here's another easy one. Well, this one is not easy, I'm going to be honest. This one is not. I did not know this one. How many men signed the Declaration of Independence?
I know it's 50-something.
I
know
that.
I know it's 50-something. Well, come on. It's me we're talking about. I know it's 50-something. So I'm going to say, for some reason, like 59 is coming to
56
mind.
56 men signed it.
Well, it just, the nine was upside down. So I was close.
Okay. All right. How about this? Which signer of the Declaration of Independence is famously remembered for his large, stylish signature?
Herbie Hancock. Those of you that are into Tommy Boy.
Halfway there, John Hancock.
Was it really? Was it really John Hancock?
Of course it was.
I was just being a turd by
I know
saying
you
Herbie
were.
Hancock.
What is the specific historical term for the colonists who supported independence from British rule, Tigger?
Colonials. Minutemen.
No.
Minutemen.
Patriots. Patriots.
Oh, that makes sense.
Now,
well, sure it is.
Now you need to go watch the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
That is a good movie.
That is
an excellent movie.
All right. Here's one for you. Which two founding fathers and signers of the Declaration of Independence died on the same day? It happened to be the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
So 50 years later is when they passed?
Yes.
George Washington.
Nope.
Herbie Hancock.
Nope.
John Hancock, his dad.
Nope.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes. Thomas Jefferson was one of the individuals, and the other was John Adams.
Well, of course it was. Duh.
That's another good movie, by the way, John Adams, to watch. Just throwing that out there. Here's some more questions for
There's
you.
There's a movie called John Adams?
Yeah. It's like a miniseries.
I didn't know that.
Well, anyway, I'm going to keep going with my quiz. Are you having fun with this?
Yes.
All right. Who was the youngest person to become president?
Oh, Beck. John Quincy Adams.
Here is a little bit of a tip for you, or what do you want to call it?
Wait a minute.
This individual's presidential library just opened on July 1st.
Well, I'm going to say Kennedy on that one, but I don't know if that's the right one.
Nope, nope, nope. His has been open for a while and is located in Boston. But the individual that we're talking about, the youngest president, the youngest person to become president, was Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, Teddy Bear.
He took office at age 42. Just to put that into perspective. All right, let's keep moving forward. Which legislation was signed into law by President Lincoln and provided free land to the West in the West to settlers?
Homestead Act.
There
it's like
you
the movie
go.
Far and Away.
Yes.
Reference source movies. Come on, I'm all over this thing.
We're naming all kinds of great movies for people to watch, by the way, over the holiday. Here, this one. The purchase of this doubled the size of the United States in 1803.
Louisiana Purchase.
Good job. And who was commissioned by Thomas Jefferson to then explore the Western Territory?
Lewis and Clark.
Good work. Good work. Which purchase from Russia added more than 586,000 square miles?
Alaska.
Yes. The Alaska Purchase. That is correct. All right. Couple more for you. Which U.S. state was an independent republic before joining the Union in 1845?
Texas or California?
Texas,
yes.
Texas, the Lone Star State. All right, here's kind of the big finale. What year were fireworks first used in association with the 4th of July being blown off in both Philadelphia and Boston?
1776. That would make sense.
That is the year we became our own country. But,
I am very aware of that, dear.
But no,
thank
it
you.
Was actually on the anniversary, the first anniversary in 1777.
Oh, I was close. I was just a year off.
Well, get this. This is what they did for fireworks. Okay, I thought this was kind of cool. In Philadelphia, on July 4th, 1777, a ship's cannon fired a 13-gun salute honoring the 13 colonies. And the evening concluded with a ringing of bells and a grand exhibition on the commons that began and ended with exactly 13 rockets.
Very cool. So how much is that going to be coming into play, you think, with people's fireworks displays, that it might be very symbolic like that?
I have a feeling,
you know, number of stars and stripes, stuff like that.
I haven't seen the projected numbers of how many dollars were spent on fireworks this year, but I believe this will probably blow the charts.
Yeah, no pun intended with that.
Regardless of how you are spending the 4th of July, we hope you're having fun, but don't go anywhere because we're going to take a short break. We got more of the Ben Show right after this. Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Week in the Rockies sale is coming up July 6th through the 10th, followed by the Video Royale sale. To consign to the Video Royale, cattle need to be cataloged by July 10th, and videos need to be submitted by July 17th. Again, July 10th for the catalog, and July 17th for videos to consign to the Video Royale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com. Welcome back to the Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. wanted to share this with you, especially those of you that love cruises. Listen to what happened here just this last month. What began as the end of a relaxing cruise turned into a chaotic scene at the Port of Miami after two families became involved in a large fight while leaving the Carnival Conquest cruise ship. Video of the incident quickly spread online, showing passengers exchanging punches as shocked travelers looked on and law enforcement rushed in to restore order. According to the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office, the incident was considered a mutual combat situation.
Combat, not just an altercation. This was combat.
Yeah. And no one involved chose to press charges. Even without criminal charges, Carnival Cruise Line took swift action, permanently banning 16 passengers from sailing with a company in the future. That means they got placed on a do not sail list.
So there wasn't criminal charges pressed,
nope.
But Carnival said you are no longer welcome or allowed on any of our ships.
This is what they had to do.
Aha.
Had to say. Carnival praised law enforcement for responding quickly and reiterated that violent or disruptive behavior has no place on its cruises. The incident serves as a reminder that actions taken both on board and in cruise terminals can have lasting consequences long after a vacation ends. And I gotta say, this isn't the first time Carnival has done this. About a year ago, they ended up banning, I think it was like 24 people. It was like close to 24 people got put on the do not sail list.
I guarantee they got put on the do not sail list at the end of said trip because you're tired, you're ready to go home, everybody's kind of cranky. It's kind of like when you fly, right? And the plane rolls into the tarmac and people start standing up and all of that, and it doesn't make the departing of the plane go any faster.
What I found fascinating, though, is until I saw this story, I mean, we're all used to the do not fly list, right, that the government has between all the airlines.
Yeah, see it on reels and stuff.
Yeah, I had never heard of the do not sail list. And what else I found interesting was that unlike the airline industry that's government managed, the no-fly list, cruise companies independently decide who may be denied future bookings. So get that. It's their own entity. So it's just kind of like a bar has the right to reserve, you know, to not serve somebody.
So do they have a list of like what kind of things can happen to somebody that you could be placed on a do not sail list?
Yes. It's kind of, they're fairly general and very common sense, like, for example, physical fights or assaults on board or
obviously,
in the cruise terminals.
Like combat,
you know,
in this situation.
And if you think about it, threatening the crew members or fellow passengers. Say this happens, I think, probably more frequently on the Caribbean or the warmer cruises, but the severe intoxication that leads to, you know, behavior.
Yeah, you get a few drinks, you got liquid courage in you.
And then, of course, if you go and you bring illegal drugs or maybe prohibited weapons on board.
Things, yes,
so it's all the obvious ones. But that's what I was surprised with. I did not realize that you could land on a do not sail list. To me, that was surprising.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. When you went on your cruise to Alaska last year, did you feel that everything went fairly smooth at boarding and then the end of your trip? I'm just curious about that in comparison to flying, which you've done a lot of too.
Oh, I would say when you go to board or leave the ship at the end, disembarkation, there we go. Is that the word? Anyway, they were both very simple. I mean, it honestly, you feel like your cattle going through to get processed. That's the situation. But everybody is very, I would say they're friendly. They have patience. That's the biggest thing. If you've never been on a cruise, whether you're getting on the ship or getting off the ship, make sure you have patience. So if that means you got to go to bed earlier the night before so you're not overtired and irritable, that's probably a great way to be. So just remember, cruises are intended to be a relaxing escape, but they also function like floating cities where safety depends on cooperation among thousands of passengers and crew members. And when I say that, I mean it. There's usually over 3,000 people on this ship. the altercations in Miami, they also, I wanted to bring them up because they serve as a reminder that those poor decisions made during or even after a cruise could have some lasting consequences. But for most of us travelers, the best souvenir to bring home is simply great memories. Changing gears, but staying on the topic of traveling, I'm bringing up the topic of drones, those privately owned drones, because we've been seeing them more and more. They've become so much more cost effective. People are buying them for their kids. They're planning to go out to the backcountry, wide open spaces, and they want to fly their drones. I just wanted to remind this to y'all in case you didn't know, flying drones, say in the U.S. national parks, is strictly prohibited. The National Park Service enforces actually a federal ban on launching, landing, or operating unmanned aircraft on all lands and waters it administers. So that's a big one right there, because I see a lot of folks trying to put videos on social media. Yeah, they can figure out who you are real quick.
I didn't know that you couldn't do that. I didn't know that.
And then the other side of it is state parks. Now, the rules at state parks, they vary widely depending on the specific location and state. And then also, say you're not going to a state park or a national park, but you're visiting a state, or you just got a drone in the state you live in, state level rules differ dramatically. Some states actually ban drones entirely. Others allow them only in specifically designated areas. And a few require you to apply and pay for a recreational or commercial permit in advance. So I'm bringing this all up because that has become the big trend, is people taking their drones out to these different events. They're wanting to use them. The kids want to use them while you're camping. You got to know where you're at and how you're going to use them.
And doesn't it kind of depend upon population too, in certain areas, if you can fly over somebody's property based on population and all that? Because I know that's kind of a gray area. A person has to research it, because years ago I had a drone for a video project. I think I mentioned this. And the first time that I used it, we were in Montana for a project, and I went up in the air with my drone, and for some reason it got a different signal and I couldn't bring it home. And I lost my drone. I mean, literally, it's gone. It is somewhere in Three Forks, Montana. I can tell you that much, up in the mountains. And I lost it completely. And from that moment forward, I have never desired to own a drone again. But I do know that it's gotten more complicated and stringent based on what you're wanting to film or who you're filming for.
Right. We have another example. A few years ago, we had a neighboring neighbor, we'll put it that way, put their property up for sale.
A neighboring neighbor.
Yeah, that was horrible English. Anyway, a neighbor put their property up for sale, and the real estate agent they hired to take photos, I mean, they had over 60-some photos. Of said 60-some photos, 3/4 of them were of our property, and they were allowed to get by with this because in the very corner of the said pictures, they kept just enough of their property in said photo, but really like 70% of the picture was our property is what they were showing.
She just wanted to tell that story because obviously that still kind of ticks her off a little bit.
It does. It does. All right. Well, go outside. Have fun with your drone. Just know the rules and regulations. We're taking a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this. What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen, the nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Looking at the calendar, thought I would let you know about this that's coming up real soon, especially if you're heading to Florida. The 2026 Florida Python Challenge will take place July 10th through July 19th this summer. Registration is now open.
Yeah, I bet you're going to register for that as soon as we get off the air.
Well, you know, the Florida Everglades, they are an extraordinary ecosystem, unlike any other part of the world, and it is home to a variety of rare and unique wildlife, including a diversity of native birds, mammals, fish, and reptiles. That's where I get a little sketchy is with the reptiles, and they happen to have an issue with the non-native reptiles, like the invasive Burmese python, in case you didn't know that. It poses a significant threat to their native wildlife and don't belong here is what they say in Florida. The Florida Python Challenge is an exciting conservation effort, is what I'm told, and it's intended to raise awareness about invasive species while helping to protect the unique ecosystems of the Everglades and the wildlife that live there from these invasive snakes. Now, the Python Removal Competition begins at midnight on July 10th, 2026. It ends at 5 p.m. on July 19th, 2026. So here's some questions. Have you ever thought about this, Tigger? Can people eat pythons caught from the wild in Florida?
I don't think you would want to.
Well, I just was curious because you're that
People eat them caught in the wild? I would say yes, you can.
Have you eaten snake before?
Yeah, I've had snake.
Well, that's why I thought I would ask you if you would eat a python.
Oh, no, you said, can people do that? Would I eat it? No, I don't want to try snake again. I thought you were asking me, is it legal if people can do that?
Well, it was a combination of questions. You know me. They kind of all run together. Well, I looked into this and here's what I found out, that they have been testing these Burmese pythons that are removed from the Everglades, and they're testing them for mercury levels, and what they found out is that they contain too high of mercury levels for human consumption.
So this is really, it's like a conservation effort.
It truly is.
It's like hunting is what it is, controlling the population, and they're saying in Florida, there's too darn many of them, we need them out of here.
Right. And I'm bringing up the whole eating them because part of conservation is we eat what we kill, those kinds of things, especially if you're hunters.
I've had squirrel and I would not recommend that.
Yeah. Okay. See, there you go. So that's why I thought I would bring this up, because sometimes there are species like this where they will have these types of challenges or tournaments put on. This is the reason why they're not letting people eat the Burmese pythons.
I think everyone is safe in that.
In mercury. Okay?
So those of you that are entering the contest, don't eat the python is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. And then here's the other side of it. If you are visiting Florida or you live down there and didn't know this already, if you would happen to see a Burmese python, they take this extremely seriously. And the Florida Wildlife Commission, they immediately want you to report it. So even if you think you saw one, you don't know for sure it was one, you're supposed to take a photo, note your location, and report your sighting by calling the Exotic Species Hotline. This is their number. I'm going to give it to you one time. 888-I've-got-one. Turns out to be that's 888-483-4681.
So with this Python Challenge, is there rewards that are offered for like the longest python or the most number of pythons caught? I'm assuming there's something with it because you can register for this Python Challenge per se.
Yes, there are. Now, I don't remember exactly what the payouts all are, but I just know that, yes, there are prizes, and some of it does even include like who caught the most, who has the most pounds weighed in, because think about it, 18-foot Burmese python is not unheard of. You know what that thing would weigh? That's like insane. All right. So if any of you happen to be going down there for this and competing in it, I really don't want to see the pictures, but at the same time, I've got to see them. So please
email them in, but say, attention, Tigger, I will open them up because Beck will lose it. Yeah. If it's a bunch of snake pictures.
You can email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And while we're on the topic of snakes, I'm just going to go there. Whether you're camping, going out hiking, just remember right now, they are out and about all across the country. So make extra noise. If you're like me, I don't really like using hiking sticks, but I keep them along just so I can whoosh, whoosh the grass in front of me. Or if you're going camping, I suggest sending somebody like Tigger to go check out the campsite first and scare them away.
And remember the bathrooms.
Close the doors.
Close the door on the bathrooms because that's become a common spot. I know it's going to be hot this weekend for pretty much everybody, and those snakes are looking for some place to go cool off on that cement floor, that cement ground in there is nice and cool. So just make sure you close the door after you're done.
There you have it. May you all have a snake-free holiday. We'll just put it that way. And that is all for this week, folks. Remember, you can keep sending us in any questions you might have if you know of something spot-worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. How is the fishing going? We want to see you reeling in the biggins. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram. Happy 4th of July, everyone. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.